taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. I am recording on the road, so if my audio sounds a little different, that's why. I'm not in my comfy office in my studio. No, I'm sitting in a hotel room because I wanted to bring more news and information to you. You know, I'm looking at the state of this country, and I've spent the last several days, I have been talking to people who are concerned, people who look at what's going on. They're concerned about the state of our country, and more importantly, the direction that it is going. We see a lot of rights being trampled. We see a lot of things going on. And I've got some news stories that, well, makes you wonder if we're not inaugurating, not President Biden, but if we inaugurated King Biden the first. Because I see more and more of his actions that act truly like a king rather than like a president. You see, when we won our independence, everybody expected George Washington to become King George the First, and that didn't happen. We created the office of president. We gave it very limited powers, and even Washington was honorable enough to walk away from that power after two terms. But I found this executive order from King Biden the First, where he claims, by the authority vested in him as the president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. I want to stop right there. That's the opening paragraph. Is that he says, by powers vested in him as president. Well, sadly, most of what I'm going to talk about from this executive order is not a power vested in the president of the United States. It doesn't exist, not by the Constitution, and any law of the United States that would grant him such power is void because it is not made pursuant to the Constitution. By the way, that's not my words. Those are words of both Alexander Hamilton and the Chief Justice Marshall of the Supreme Court. Now, what this particular executive order is all about, which was enacted August 5th, 2021, or signed August 5th, is taking control, further control, of the transportation market. President Biden believes he has the ability to dictate to you what type of car you can drive, what type of vehicles you can use, and what must be allowed, what will be allowed on American roads. Now, Section 1 says it's a policy statement that America must lead the world on clean and efficient cars and trucks. No, Mr. President, America shouldn't do that. The American people should do that. We should be allowed to see what is the best and most efficient way to change. If we're going to change to more clean and efficient cars and trucks, leave it to the American people. That's where the power belongs. We did not delegate to the United States the authority to determine modes of transportation, much less fuel economy. There is not an amendment to the Constitution that says the United States has the authority to set such transportation laws. All they can do is regulate interstate commerce. But you see, this isn't about regulating interstate commerce. He goes on in Section 2 to say he wants to change the fuel economy standards for 2027. And he then goes and says, well, the administrator of the EPA shall, as appropriate with consistent with law, consider a rulemaking on the Clean Air Act to establish new emission standards. He says the Secretary of Transport, now first of all, the administration of the EPA is unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that grants the United States the power to deal with the environment. He says the Secretary of Transportation shall, according to laws that he quotes, establish new fuel economy standards for passenger cars and light trucks. Well, again, there is, the closest thing you could say is, well, most cars and trucks are sold across state lines, but does that include, is it to make commerce regular to tell what must be the efficiency of those vehicles? And again, a Department of Transportation, not a constitutional department, because the United States is not authorized to regulate transportation, only interstate commerce. He goes on to say that they wanted to change standards for the large trucks. They want to come up with rules and laws considering zero emission vehicles. The one that caught me the most is actually part of his policy. You see, he wants to set a goal that 50% of all new passenger cars and light trucks sold in 2030 be zero emission vehicles. In other words, plug-in electrics, hybrid electrics, or fuel cell electrics. Now, again, Mr. President, can you tell me where in the Constitution of the United States the president is authorized to set such standard? Can you tell me where in the Constitution of the United States the United States is granted the power to regulate such things? This is not the act of a president executing the laws of the United States. This is an act of a king dictating to his people what he wants done. And to be simple, Mr. President, it just makes you another two-bit petty tyrant like every president of the United States in the past who has used executive orders to push his will contrary to his oath of office in direct violation of the laws of the United States, the oath you took to the Constitution. It just means you're the same petty, small-minded political sycophant that we've come to expect in the executive office. And since this executive order is contrary to the Constitution, it is contrary to the commission of your office, it is void. At least that's what Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Papers number 78. And since you're basing this on laws that are not made pursuant to the Constitution of the United States, those laws are void, so the powers you're claiming to do this are void. By the way, that's the Chief Justice Marshall in the Supreme Court case Marbury versus Madison. You see, the American people have been trained and bullied into believing that just because the President of the United States signs an executive order, something has to happen. Now, this order is he's giving to executive departments, but they are exercising his power. So this is all tyranny. There's no other description for it. Now, whether or not you think we should head more towards electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles and clean energy and emissions, that's not the point. The question is it legal? Does President Biden have the legal authority to do this? Or are you just claiming that the ends justify the means and we can break all the laws we want as long as we do it for the right reason? That's not a republic. That's not protecting unalienable rights. That is a recipe for tyranny, and for confusion, for arbitrary laws, and for despotism. Noah Webster defined tyranny in his 1828 dictionary as the arbitrary or despotic exercise of power, the exercise of power over subjects and others with a rigor not authorized by law or justice, or not regulated for the purposes of government. So here we have arbitrary laws. He's just making numbers up because he thinks they're good numbers. He is exercising powers that on us as if we were subjects, not as if we were his masters. He is authorizing laws that are not, he's exercising powers not authorized by law or by justice or by powers defined in the Constitution of the United States. So are we still the land of the free if we are being ruled by a king in the name of a president? And this is, by the way, this isn't just Biden. I mean, Trump did the same thing. Obama did the same thing. Bush did the same thing. It's because we the people don't know our rights. We don't know what the Constitution actually says. We don't know that the Constitution actually forbids the president from doing this. And since we don't know any better, we sit back and let it happen. Now, while I've been speaking on this tour, there has been a question that's come up several times, and I might as well bring it up here and let everybody know. And it really comes down to say, well, doesn't the Constitution stop this? And I need to remind everyone, and I need to remind you, the Constitution is ink on parchment. It's not some Marvel superhero. It's not going to suddenly jump out of its case, start dope slapping everybody in Washington, D.C. who violates its rules. The Constitution is our authority to say no. The authority of the people and the states to go to the federal government and say no. Mr. President, this is not legal. This is not authorized. This is criminal. And this is tyranny. But too few of the American people even have considered the possibility of actually saying no. I met with dozens of people that asked this question, and they go, well, do we sue here, or do we sue there, or do we contact our congressman? And, you know, it's this misunderstanding that we are subjects of the federal government. We're not. We are citizens of the several states. And it's those states that agreed to create the United States and its government, what we call the federal government. We created it, not the other way around. We establish the boundaries of the federal government, not the other way around. The Declaration of Independence says governments are instituted to protect our rights, and they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. We consented to powers in the Constitution, and 27 times we have changed that consent. We've either added or, in one case, removed powers from the federal government. But we don't even bother with that anymore. We just have a president that says, you know what? I think electric cars are a good idea. I think we should do this. So we'll just do it. I'll just issue an order and tell my underlings to make rules to make this happen. Rules, by the way, that supposedly have the force of law, even though they haven't gone through the legislative process. And since all legislative power is vested in Congress, Article 1, Section 1, Clause 1, that means when a executive branch makes a rule with the force of law, it's void. It's repugnant to the Constitution. If the power to set CAFE standards, if the power to influence buying habits were actually a power delegated to the United States, which it is not, those laws would have to come out of Congress, Mr. President, not your inkwell. I mean, we had men fight and die to declare independence from this kind of rulership, from having a king that simply dictated, issued orders, issued mandates, and expected everybody to follow under punishment of some for failure to comply. We've become little different from the Great Britain that we left 245 years ago. That's why, back on July 4th, I published my article called The Redeclaration of Independence. Go check it out. Go to constitutionstudy.com. Check it out. Search for Redeclaration of Independence. I'll put a link to it actually in the description of this episode when it goes up on the show page. And look at just exactly how many of the grievances we had against King George you can apply to someone or some group out of Washington, D.C. The answer is all 27 grievances. We can make the exact same claim against Washington, D.C. This is no different. The question is, when will the American people realize they have the power to say no? Sure, if one person stands up and says no, they're going to be arrested. But as Benjamin Franklin said after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we must all hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. If one person stands up, they're going to jail. If 1,000 people stand up, maybe not. If 1,000,000 people stand up, well then, assuredly not. We don't need to fight. We don't need to sue. We need to recognize that whenever, you know, it's not anarchy to not follow a law of the United States that is not legal, that is void because it is repugnant to the Constitution. The Constitution supersedes Congress and the President and the Supreme Court. I don't need the Supreme Court to say, you know, that's unconstitutional, so you don't have to follow it. I don't need that. We need to get control of our states and have our states start standing up and saying, we did not delegate to you that power. Therefore, it has no effect in our state. And if you try to enforce it, we'll arrest you because you're breaking the law. And people cringe at the idea of state nullification, but that's there for a reason. That's one of the primary checks and balances. It's one of the fail-safe checks and balances in our system. That power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. In general, remain with the states, and the states are expected to defend them. They're expected to protect themselves from an overreaching federal government. They're expected to protect their citizens from an overreaching federal government. But they've become so cowed and so dependent on the bribes coming out of Washington, D.C., that the politicians are afraid. Most of them are scared. Most of them are chicken. Most of them are simply looking at this and going, I can't do anything. They might cut off funding. Well, the fact that you're dependent on that funding in the first place is a problem. And we have to deal with it. And that's why it has to come not from Washington. It's not going to come from Washington. It's not going to come from political parties. It's not going to come from a member of the political parties. It's going to come when we, the people, have had enough. When we, the people, demand that our employees in Washington, D.C. and in our state houses follow the law, exercise only the powers we have given them, stand up and defend them, stand up and defend us, and stop acting like a bunch of mealy-mouthed cowards, more worried about what the political party says, because let's face it, most politicians are more afraid of the political party than they are of their constituents. And until they're more afraid of us than they are of the parties will continue to rule this country. And you'll get dictates and executive orders and illegal legislation, and they'll be applied, and you'll be forced to comply at the point of a gun because the American people will cowardly allow it to happen. See, we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, but we're watching our freedom get trampled, and we're too afraid to do anything about it. And before we start complaining about Biden or politicians or anything else, let's take a good, long, hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what have we done to protect our rights? What have we done to hire employees that will do the job we laid out for them? What have we done to punish those in political office who violate the laws, who violate the rules? What have we done other than sit back and listen to a radio program, become a keyboard warrior on Facebook, whine and scream, but unwilling to do anything? You know, in the speeches I've been given, I was talking about the brave men at Attila's Gym up in New Jersey. You know, when New Jersey ordered that they shut down because the state determined they were not essential, they said no. When the state cut off the power, these men brought in generators. When the state cut off their water, these men brought in bottled water and porta potties. When they locked the door, they kicked it open. When they chained the door, they cut the chains. When they boarded up the doors, they kicked the boards down. They refused to be intimidated by a tyrant governor exercising powers not delegated to him. But they weren't alone. They had hundreds of people standing behind them, cheering them on. If you're not going to be the one that is kicking down the door, you should be the one cheering them on. We need to have their back. when they're doing this. Because if you think a few gun laws is the end of what's going to happen, oh, you know, it's just gun laws, or it's just you know, orders about what type of cars you can drive, you're kidding yourself. Because the Biden administration has already announced that it's checking whether it can intervene in states where mask mandates are prohibited. That's right. President Biden is checking to see if he can come up with a plausible way to demand that the states be his subjects, be his inferiors. Excuse me, Mr. President, the states created the job you now hold. I think all 50 states should be on their hind legs. Every governor in every state, especially states that have prohibited mask mandates, should be on the phone with the president going, you are committing an act of war if you try to come in and tell us how to run our state. You are not our superior. You are our subject. You are exercising powers we have not delegated to you. You are acting like the petty tyrant we overthrew in 1776. And in fact, every member of the states should be contacting their senators, and actually they should be contacting their house reps and saying, if the administration attempts to intimidate states to follow their illegal regulations, that Mr. Biden needs to be impeached immediately. Now, right now, he's just checking. But if you wait until he does it, it's too late. Every member of the House of Representatives that believes in liberty and freedom should be signing letters and contacting the White House and saying, that is a crime. You are violating the rights of the states. That is a high crime. You are violating your oath of office. You are committing treason, sir. You are overthrowing the legitimate governments of these states and of the United States in favor of your own desire. And I do not use that term lightly. It is treason should he do this, and warn him beforehand that we will not stand for it. That we will, yes, we will impeach him. And then go to the senators and saying, yes, we will find him guilty. I don't care whether or not you control your political party controls. It shouldn't be a party issue. It should be a character issue. It should be a qualifications issue. It's a rights issue. It is a fundamental creation of the United States government, of the Constitution, that the states created the federal government. They are not subjects of the federal government. Only laws of the United States made pursuant to the Constitution are considered supreme. And as soon as the president feels that he can dictate to states how they run themselves, is the day he stops being president and he starts being king. And we, the people, are sitting back going, tisk, tisk, tisk. What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know. There's nothing I can do. Poor little old me. I'm not a citizen of a free country. I can't actually do anything. Well, grow a backbone. Grow a spine. Our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor so that you could live free. Can't you get off of your backside long enough to go to your employee in Washington, get in their face physically or on the phone or write a letter or in an email, demand they do their job, to go to your governor and your state legislature and demand they stand against this tyranny, demand that they not bow down to a king? Can't we do that? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe the American people have become so weak they can't anymore. You know, there's a saying that the bad times make strong men make good times make weak men make bad times. And maybe that's where we are. We have weak men making bad times, and it's not going to change until we, the people, start getting rid of these weak men and women that we've hired to represent us and start putting strong men and women in those places that understand their purpose and their role and their duty to protect the rights of you and me and every citizen in this great country. Now, before I go to break, I want to let you know, while I've been on this trip, I've been on the road. It's a 10-day stretch I've been on the road. I've been using Healthy Cells REM Sleep to help me get to sleep at night, stay asleep, and be awake and alert to keep doing these wonderful meets and greets and teachings with these people. So head over to healthycell.com/outloud. You'll get 20% off your first order. Try the REM Sleep or try any of their products. But I think you'll find it's a new way of looking at vitamins and a new way of keeping ourselves healthy and strong for the fight to come. So again, that's healthycell.com/outloud for 20% off your first order.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
So what are the signs that you're no longer living in a free republic, that you're living in a tyranny, that you have a tyrant as a king, and that you are no longer free? Well, we've talked about some. The ability of the king to simply issue orders to do things that we have not authorized him to do, to see whether or not he can rule the bodies that created him, if he can take the states and simply rule over them because he doesn't like what they're doing. And one of the things you'll find in most tyrannical, despotic governments is spying. Now, an NSA watchdog, internal watchdog group, is now investigating whether or not Tucker Carlson was spied upon. Now, Tucker Carlson claims that he was spied upon. He claims he has evidence. He claims he has a witness that produced information that was only available on his private email. And now the Office of Inspector General announced finally that it's conducting a review to see if NSA improperly targeted the communications of a member of the U.S. news media. Well, I'd like to tell the Inspector General that, that's really a mamby-pamby way of looking at it. This is not the NSA improperly targeting a member of the news media. This is the NSA spying on an American citizen in violation of both the Constitution and federal law. See, now, if the NSA spied on any citizen without a warrant, the NSA deprived them of their right to be secure from unreasonable searches protected by the Fourth Amendment. Now, why is that important? Because that is a federal crime. Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 242, says it's a crime under color of law to violates someone's rights protected by the Constitution. Specifically reading, again, Title 18, United States Code Section 242 says, whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, it goes on to a couple of things, says, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Now, the NSA is acting under federal law. It's following regulations and ordinances and executive orders. And we now appears to have willfully subjected a person in a U.S. state, but also in the District of Columbia, to the deprivation of the right protected under the Fourth Amendment to be secure from an unreasonable search. They've committed a federal crime, punishable by a fine and up to 1 year in jail. So Mr. Inspector General, Robert Storch, I believe is his name, you can take your namby-pamby language and, first of all, go ahead and do your investigation. I want you to investigate. I'm not saying you shouldn't investigate. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be looking for whether or not NSA improperly targeted the communications of a member of the U.S. news media. You should be investigating whether members of the NSA committed federal crimes by illegally searching the records and information of a U.S. citizen on U.S. soil. This is not simply a news palaver. This is the very basic idea of do rights matter. This is a federal crime. The Inspector General should be looking to say, if they find that this actually happened, if Mr. Carlson is right, they should be recommending charges be filed against anyone in the USA, in the NSA, that authorized this. Oh, well, no, Mr. Carlson can sue. I don't want him to sue. See, if he sues the federal government, that means you and I, the taxpayers, pay for this. But the people who actually broke the law would get off scot-free. That's not good enough. I want, if the NSA does this investigation, and if the Inspector General does this investigation and finds that the NSA spied on an American citizen, then I want those involved charged with a violation of Title 18 U.S.C. Section 242. I want criminal charges preferred. I want the FBI to investigate. I want a U.S. Attorney General assigned. I want a prosecutor assigned. I want criminal charges. I want people in court. Because anything less is a whitewash. Anything less is, we'll just sweep it under the rug. You know, oh, I'm sorry, we're bad, we won't do this anymore. Anybody at the NSA that doesn't realize that it's a crime to spy on someone without a good reason, without a warrant, doesn't belong in the NSA, doesn't belong in the federal government, doesn't belong in any office of trust. But we're going to have an IG say, well, we'll do a little investigation and we'll see. Now, again, maybe that's just the way I read that press release. Maybe he's just trying to be a little careful in his language. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'm sorry, the charges are not a question of, oh, well, we improperly collected some data, and oh, we're so sorry, Mr. Carlson, how can we make it up to you? It's no, somebody committed a crime, and we need to demand justice, not just for Mr. Carlson, but for each and every American who's being spied on today, who's having their Fourth Amendment rights shredded by the NSA and other intelligence agencies, either directly or by illegally using third parties to do what the Constitution says they can't do. Am I the only one out here? Am I the only person that looks at this and is infuriated by the idea that our government is spying on us and no one is ever held accountable? Am I the only one that realizes that if what Mr. Carlson says is true, a crime was committed, punishable by jail time? Or am I just one man out here shouting in the wilderness? Or are there other Americans out there as well? And if there are, why aren't we standing up and demanding that the NSA works for us? We created the federal government. We created the states that created the federal government. They work for us. I'm sorry, Mr. Inspector General. A simple little investigation about whether there was a boo-boo at the NSA is not enough. You need to be looking for evidence of a crime. And if you're telling me that, well, yeah, the NSA did make mistakes, but nothing really bad is going to happen to those who did it, or you know, maybe they get a bad mark in their permanent record, you know, like when you were in school. Well, that's not good enough, Mr. Inspector General, and you failed at your job. And speaking of men failing in their job, Secretary of State Blinken said the other day that the United States must prioritize investing in domestic infrastructure and innovation at home so that we can compete with foreign rivals like China. Well, first of all, America, the United States, doesn't invest in anything. The United States does not invest in anything. The United States steals money from the American people at the point of a gun to pay for things they're not authorized to. That's called extortion and embezzlement. So what he's really talking about is that the United States should embezzle billions and trillions of dollars from the American people to spend on projects they're not authorized to invest, to quote, spend money on, because Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says Congress can only collect taxes to pay for the debts, provide common defense, and promote the general welfare of the United States, the Union, not the individual states. So other than investing in post roads, the United States has no infrastructure to invest in. All right, yeah, their forts, their bases, their needful buildings, that's it. But that's not what Secretary Blinken is talking about. He's talking about putting a gun to your head to take more of your money, to steal from your children, to borrow in your name, to simply print money out of thin air, to bribe you with your own money by giving you goodies, by fixing the roads you should be fixing yourself, by fixing the bridges you should be fixing yourself, by fixing the water systems and the electrical systems, all these things that American cities and states should be doing themselves, they're not, and are not. They want the bribe from the federal government. So the federal government can take over more and more and more and more of this country. See, we used to be a union of 50 free and independent states. Now we've become a union of client states, enslaved by the money giant that is the federal government. And now the Secretary of State has come up with another reason for them to illegally take money from you to spend on illegal projects because, oh, well, we can use it to help protect us from China. I'm sorry, this is a perverted way to look at this country. Our founding fathers, I believe at this point, our founding fathers would have already been at war. They would have already looked and said, you're spending money things we didn't authorize. No. Yet our politicians in our state houses, these weak, spineless, cowardly politicians, sit back and just say, well, they're going to send us money to do something, so we should be okay with that, right? We'll give up every principle. We'll give up every right. We'll give up every power. As long as the federal government keeps spreading money our way, we will let them do whatever they want. And as you're sitting there pointing at your politicians saying, what cowardly, spineless, evil people, remember, you and your neighbors hired them. You and your neighbors chose these weak, cowardly people to exercise your power in your name. It's your fault, people. And I know that's a bitter pill to swallow. I know that's not what people want to hear. They want to hear it's somebody else's fault. They want to be able to blame somebody else. It's your fault because you hired them. But I didn't vote for them, Paul. No, but what did you do to convince your neighbors that this was a bad policy, that these were weak-minded people? Heck, we all know, how can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips are moving. We all know these are people without character. For the most part, they lie. If not constantly, most of the time. Yet we trust them with these powers. And then when they go beyond their powers, we sit back and do nothing. If we have a King Biden, it's because we let it happen. It's because we elected a king rather than a president. And now we're surprised when he acts like a king rather than the president. And we want to point our fingers, we want to blame somebody else. Well, guess what, folks? It's your fault. And until you recognize that painful truth, we will never be able to fix the problem. And remember that quote-unquote infrastructure bill? I mean, let's face it, this is not an infrastructure bill. Just look at some of the things that were in this infrastructure bill. The bill includes a mandate for vehicle manufacturers to install drunk and impaired driving prevention technologies. The federal government is using its power to, quote-unquote, regulate interstate commerce to deny you your right to be secure from an unreasonable search. The government is saying, we assume you are drunk or dangerous before you get in the car. You must prove you are safe before you're allowed to exercise the right of transportation, the right to travel freely. This is not only a violation of the Fourth Amendment, right? Because they're going to say, we're going to put a searching device in your car by government edict so that you can prove that without probable cause, we're going to assume you're drunk or impaired until you prove otherwise. They're going to deprive you of your liberty. Oh, but we have to do something. You know what you have to do? You have to punish the guilty. You don't have to punish the innocent. Every American should be outraged at the very idea that you have to prove yourself worthy before you can operate your own motor vehicle. Now, if you had someone who had been convicted of driving under the influence, that's different. Their right to liberty has been restrained by due process. But this is not due process. Due process, the Free Legal Dictionary defines due process as a government or judicial process designed to protect the rights of the individual. This does not protect the rights of the individual. This trashes the rights of the individual. And of course, rather than putting in a bill where people would know about it, nope, we're going to sneak it in to an infrastructure bill. We're going to say we're spending $1.2 trillion on infrastructure when we're really spending most of it on this little grab bag of how do we take away the rights of the American people. They also want a pilot program. They want to track everywhere you drive. That's right. They want to track every mile you drive. You are no longer at liberty to travel without reporting that travel to the federal government if this goes into effect. Again, unreasonable search. It is none of the government's business how many miles you drive. They're collecting an excise tax on gasoline, and the problem is they're pushing for electric vehicles, and electric vehicles don't consume gasoline, so they're not going to get their gas tax, so they want to find another way to reach their hand into your pocket and take your money, and if your rights have to be trashed to do it, well, too bad. That's in the infrastructure bill. Do you want to put a tracking device on your car? Because that's what they're talking about. The only way to keep track of the miles you traveled is either to have a voluntary reporting or for them to put a tracking device on your car. Is that what you want? They're also going to go in and they're going to try and regulate cryptocurrency. We finally come up with a system. Now listen, I'm not a huge fan of cryptocurrency. I find the blockchain technology interesting. But I'm not at this point, I don't think cryptocurrency has matured enough to be depended upon. But before we even get there, guess what they want to do? They want to regulate it. They don't want you to be able to exercise commerce without them being in control. That's just some of the things in this quote-unquote infrastructure monstrosity that is being worked on. Is that really what you expect your government to do? And then there's actually two more stories. They're very closely related. And it shows that it's not just King Biden who's out to trample your rights. We have an entire elitist infrastructure that thinks you are plebs, you are serfs, you are peasants to be ordered around. The first is our fake friend Fauci. I don't know why anybody listens to this man. He's been on all sides of this COVID issue since day one. He's been wrong more often than he's been right. He's lied to us. He's been proven to lie to us. And now we have this quote from Mr. Fauci. He says, "I'm sorry. I know people must like to have their individual freedom, but I think that we're in such a serious situation now that under certain circumstances, mandates should be done." He says he doesn't care about your freedoms. Your freedoms don't matter. We have a disease with an average life expectancy of 98.6. Last numbers that I checked for the CDC, 98.6 of the people who test positive for COVID survive. We've gone through the vaccination. We're told the vaccination would keep you from getting COVID. Then we found out, no, that doesn't work. So now they say, oh, no, the vaccination just makes it less, the symptoms less severe. And now he's saying that is so severe. The fact that you have a 98 plus chance percentage surviving, that is so severe. Your rights must be trampled. I'm sorry, Mr. Fauci, but if this were colonial times, you would be tarred, feathered, and run out on a rail. How dare you? How dare you assume that you can alienate the unalienable rights of the American people? That you have the chutzpah to tell us that our rights don't matter because you have scared people into throwing them out the window by putting in illegal, unconstitutional mandates. This is an atrocity that should not be stood for. No American should look at this and say, you know what, Mr. Fauci, you're right. This man should be summarily dismissed, if not from his position, from any consideration by anyone in this country. He is a traitor to his oath of office. He is a traitor to our form of government. He is a traitor to freedom and liberty. And no, I am not using that word traitor hyperbolically. He should be impeached for violating the supreme law of the land and by committing fraud and conning the American people into doing what he wants with complete disregard for the impact that it has, the complete disregard for the damage that's being done. Anybody who listens to this man is either completely oblivious to the world around them or truly has become a slave to the American government, to the government of the United States. They've voluntarily given up their citizenship, their rights, their ability to live at liberty, to be citizens, to live without being imposed on at every turn, to be free to act without external influence. They have voluntarily given that up to a man that has lied to them for 18 months. When the evidence is readily available that COVID-19 is not that dangerous to the vast majority of the American population, there are small groups that are in greater danger. Yes, if you're 85 years old, if you're 70 years old or older, you may be a little more concerned. If you have serious health issues, especially respiratory issues, yes, you should be more concerned. But to say that the American people's rights don't matter is infuriating. And the fact that the American people accept this language, allow this man to still hold sway, leaves me disgusted. It leaves me disgusted in my fellow American to think that they are so cowardly as to listen to a man like him and not stand up and say no. You know, when the British soldiers at Lexington Green ordered the Massachusetts militia to lay down their arms, their commander, Captain John Parker, said, "Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here." It's time we take that advice to heart. It is time that we stand our ground against tyrants and bullies and sycophants that think they have the legitimate authority to tell us our rights don't matter. And to add on to that pile, I'm adding Arnold Schwarzenegger to this list. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't think I'd watch another one of his movies. I don't care. This man has abdicated any sense of right and liberty. He said, in talking about the people who are pushing against masks, his words, "Screw your freedom." Well, pardon my language, Mr. Schwarzenegger, screw you. Rights do matter. My rights trump your opinion. And I don't care how big you are. I don't care how strong you were. You are a petty child. You left a country to come to America. You were successful here. You were an actor. You became rich. You were a governor. You held power. And now you're telling the American people, screw their rights? Well, screw you. And I don't like losing that language, but that's what he's telling us. So Mr. Biden, Mr. Fauci, Secretary Blinkert, Mr. Schwarzenegger, you know what? You have proven yourselves to be a traitors to the American dream, traitors to your oaths of office, even though Mr. Schwarzenegger doesn't currently hold office. The lot of you can pack up your squeamish little bags and leave, because this is one American that is still a free citizen. This is one American who's still willing to stand up, speak the truth to your petty little foolishness, and say, I will stand my ground. Now, I won't fire unless fired upon, but if you come after me, if you want to make this a war, let's dance. See, I have truth on my side. I have history on my side. I have liberty on my side. I have rights on my side, and I have God on my side. All you have is your petty power, your petty slogans, a bunch of whiny people who like to threaten people in mobs, but one-on-one, run away to mama. And you know what? I'm tired of such weak and foolish people being given positions of authority in this country, then watching them abuse that authority and the people do nothing about it. If you have an idea of how to wake the American people out of this nightmare, please let me know. Because I'm traveling the country, showing the people not only that they can know what their rights are, but they can stand up and defend them. They are not powerless before government. They are not serfs and subjects. They are citizens. They are the rightful masters, as Abraham Lincoln said. We are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts. That we have the authority not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the people who pervert the Constitution, like Mr. Biden, Mr. Schwarzenegger, Mr. Fauci, Mr. Blinken. We have that power, but we have to realize it. Then we have to learn how to use it, and then we have to exercise it. Now, if you want to know more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. Find out where I'm speaking. I'm still putting on dates. I've had a request. I'm trying to set something up in Florida. I'm trying to set something up in the Pacific Northwest. You can find out more. You can put your request in. Maybe you'd like me to come to your city. Teach you how to stop being a subject and be a citizen of this great country. It's not going to take all of us. It's going to take some of us, and we're going to have to stand up. But more importantly, it's going to take the American people standing behind those of us willing to stand up. Just like at the Attila's gym, there only may be only a few of us kicking down the doors, but there needs to be millions of Americans standing behind us cheering. Then we will prosper. Then we will secure our liberty. Then we can win this war at the ballot box rather than condemning our children to fight it on the battlefield. if there's one thing I want you to hear from today's message, it's not that we have a tyrant in office. That is nothing new. It's not that we have idiots who think your rights don't matter, that the Constitution doesn't matter, that they can do whatever it is they please. That's not the message. The message is you don't have to stand for it. The Constitution is your authorization to say no. So help me. Read the Constitution. Study it. Join the groups. Contact me to find places where you can study. Go to Constitution Study. Go to ConstitutionScholars.com. Join the studies there. Learn how you too can become an active citizen in this great republic rather than a subject of petty tyrants in Washington, D.C. and in our state houses. See, then America will once again be the land of the free and the home of the brave. If we are going to keep our freedom, we must be the brave people that will do it. Sadly today, based on what I've been seeing, too many Americans are cowards. They're afraid they might lose something. They're not willing to risk their lives, their fortunes, their honor if they have any. They're more interested in what's on Facebook or YouTube or what some celebrity says. Sadly, we are becoming less and less the land of the free because we have become the home of the coward. And my only hope is that if strong men make good times and good times make weak men, when our weak men have made these bad times, my only hope is that bad times once again make strong men, and strong men can bring the good times back again. Now, all of my shows go to podcasts, typically a day or two after broadcast. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, basically anywhere you listen to podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts so that more people can find us and learn how to live lives as free citizens of this great nation of ours.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail.